Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, what's up? This is Stacy. This is The Diary, your one and only host from here and forever. And today is Father's Day, June 20th, 2010. And also the Father's Day now, my father's been gone like 30 years this year. So we have a special tribute to him and to all fathers. And we're also going to continue with our Blacks in the Revolutionary War and the way that we did things and changed things, and also I have some new music. The music, got four songs. I don't know if I'm going to play them all, but one is Godfather, in honor of Father. Flying Bass is really funky and good, and then there's Funky Summer, that's even funkier and better, and then there's Old School Party, which is something I like to always be involved in, because I am old school. As you can see, I have no co-host, Ray's no longer with us, although she is still on this earth. She's no longer here. And, you know, I always try to bring everybody in. That might be one of my biggest flaws. It's like, Stacy, everybody don't want to be a part of what you do, you know? So, you know, she's no longer here, and now I feel more comfortable when I do express my spirituality that I so carry so much. At least I don't feel like I get that look like somebody going to throw blood on my ass. So, you know, I get to talk about that more. And then, you know, I'm going to go over, you know, what that was all about. And, you know, nothing's promised. Nothing lasts forever. As I sit here, and I hope and I pray that I don't break down, because my father, like I said, has been gone for 30 years. And I look just like my father. And my father was 52 years old when he gave birth to me. I mean, he didn't give birth to me, but when my mom did, you know what I mean? 52. He was still running strong, the last of his 11 kids. So, you know, Father's Day is special, and we're going to talk about that. So if I get really emotional today, you have to excuse me, because, you know, I'm just, if it wasn't for my father, who stuck in there with my crazy-ass mother, and not to mention he had 11 kids. You know, if he would not have stuck in, like I said in my blog, like so many don't today, only God knows where me and my other 10 siblings would be to this day. And we're talking 10 fantastic siblings. We're not talking, you know, you always got one Willie Bobo, that's a crackhead or something. No, all 10 of my siblings are accomplished out there in the world, all the boys, all the males, and my brothers are men who took care of their families, you know, like men. Nobody ran off, you know, like they do today. All my brothers are men. All my brothers are men. Even some of my brothers had to take their kids. That's a man. My dad married my mother, who already had a kid, and he adopted that kid. So my daddy was a man. They don't make them like that no more. So we're going to talk about what one man can do, and I'm proud because that's my daddy, and what one black man can do. And if you are black and if you are a man, you need to be listening, because the power of one black man. My dad, one black man, had six men who in themselves had kids, except for the one that's a priest. And then that one man multiplied his power so many times because he was a righteous, good man. He was a man. And that's what we need to raise today. We got to raise some men. We raising too many girly-ass men that don't know how to get up off their ass and do shit for nobody. And then the mothers pamper them. And I got it on both sides. You know what I'm saying? I got both sides of this old sorry-ass shit. I got my dad, who was a man. My brothers, who are men. Then I got my ex-husband, who is a girl. And I got Jesse's dad, who is a girl. I'm not raising girls. That's why Freddie and Chris ain't no girl. Because I knew what a man was, even though he died when I was 15. He gave me enough to know that's a man. So we're going to talk about Father's Day and what a man is supposed to do and how a man takes care of his family. And when a man becomes a father, we don't talk about a man versus a boy coming a dad. What a man does when he becomes a man, and what a boy does when he becomes a man, when he becomes a dad. What does a boy do? I got a lot of examples. They run in high. They make you pull out that child support as if they doing you a favor. That's what a boy does when he becomes a dad. He goes and he runs and he hides and he lives with his mama for 20 or 30 years, or he sits in jail because he can't hang. That's what a boy does when he becomes a dad. But my kids, my boys, they ain't got no choice because ain't nothing on their side but a bunch of men becoming dads. So we talking about Father's Day today, baby, and we talking about continuing how blacks, you know, every time America gets in trouble, knock, 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 Mr. Blackman, help us, even today, okay? I don't know why we don't realize that shit. Black people don't take credit for it because we just so fucked up, but that's what this show is about. Stacey, it's not about just saying how fucked up we are. It's about saying how fucked up we are, yes, but what we going to do to change that shit. So, also, I'm introducing something new today and for the rest of the week, and that's, I like to call this the Dumb Ass of the Week Award, because, you know, out there in this world, you know, some dumb motherfuckers, and you just got to call them on their dumbness, and you got to bring that dumbness to light, because if we don't bring dumb ass shit to light, people just think it's normal. So, I'm going to tell you who those two, it's two, actually, they won that award this week, a Dumb Ass of the Week Award. And before we do that, though, I wanted one thing very important that's very important to me. I look at the website all week long, and I hope people listen to what I'm saying. I don't just do this because I don't have shit else to do. Well, you know, recently I didn't have shit else to do. But when I started, I had a whole lot to do. And the reason why I do this is because, you know, I always thought when I pray, it's like I can't be the only one that thinks black people all fucked up and willing to, like, rally up and do the best that we can to make a difference. If nothing else, kind of just right where we are, right at home, make a difference, you know? And I thank everybody because over this past week, you know, for me and for this show and as long as I've been doing it for 6 months now, this past week, like, 60 different listens to the show, whether 60 people listen one time or 20 people listen 30 times, or one person listened 60 times, or 60 different people listen one time. I appreciate that. I love that. And I will continue to do that because I can't imagine that I'm the only one that's willing to just want to rally behind somebody that wants to actually make a difference. There's so many people out here that just, you know, they're so full of shit, and they're supposed to represent us, and they don't. So when I found an opportunity to get on the radio like this shit, and it was free, and all I had to do was keep my internet on, man, I was with it. And that picture, that's little baby Stace. That's when she was learning how to do big pimping. I was about 8 years old, and I thought the world was peachy keen, and everything was beautiful, and my daddy was saying, baby, just get an education, baby. That's all you got to do. And I was singing, la, 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 la. You know, and I knew something was wrong because every time I sang that shit last week, you know, my little friend was like, that was like kryptonite or some shit. So, you know, that's little baby face. That's me. You know, I just, that smile, you know, I love it. I want everybody to share that smile because that's how I feel in my heart now that I'm 45 years old. I swear to Jesus, Jesus, I can say that without feeling bad. Jesus, Jesus, you know, I feel that same way, that same look, that same fresh, happy look is the same fresh, happy look that I feel in my heart. And I want to share that with other people because it's so important to do that. And now, you know, I'm by myself. I can do a little preaching, you know, and I'm not holy or than thou kind of shit. And I know so many that are. And that's why so many people are fucked up with religion because they make you think you got to be so perfect when under the covers they so dirty themselves and it just throws you off. But, you know, like I got a couple of spiritual mentors that are able to talk to me and stuff and get to my soul. And, you know, the first miracle Jesus performed, you know, was turning that water into that wine, baby. I don't know what you're talking about, but Jesus loved to have the party going. And that's what being Christ-like is all about. It's all about keeping the party going, loving people. You know, just like I had up on the blog, you know, if you want true sacrifice is the people. You know, true sacrifice is when you see somebody hurting that you give to them. You know, and that's old school. That's, you know, that's how we used to do it back in the day. That's how we got free. That's how we got the vote. That's how we got the rights act, because old school motherfuckers like my mom and my daddy, you know, taught their kids to respect their blackness, to love themselves, to love who they are, to love their family, you know, to love their blackness and to share everything that they fucking have. When my mama died, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, Father's Day, my heavenly father is my father. My earthly father been away from me 30 of my 45 years. My earthly mother been away from me 11 of my 45 years. So most of my life, for anything that's vital, I've had to call on my heavenly father, that father. That's why I love Father's Day, because I'm so blessed I've got a relationship with that heavenly one and my dad, who was the bomb. You know, old school people, old school. My daddy worked. My mama stayed home. She raised 11 of us. We all went to private school, old school. School party, because I had a tricky finger. I was like, old school shit, I'm getting ready to play old school. It did it by itself. So, yeah, this is a diary here on Sunday, and every Sunday, June 20th day is Father's Day. And I thank everybody, like I was saying, I was trying to finish up. I thank everybody for listening. Only real motherfuckers are going to really change things. We can see these fake motherfuckers we've elected, they're not really going to change anything. President Obama has changed things, and they jumping on him as if, you know, he everything is crazy. So only real motherfuckers like us are going to change things. So keep listening. Help me keep grinding it out and get more people to listen, and things will change. What you say will happen. And we always trying to say positive shit here, and let's go on. Let's go on. But what's not positive is the dumbass of the week award, and two people get it. You know, first of all, first motherfucker that gets it, and I don't even know his name, but the black person I know. The dude that apologized to BP, he gets the dumb motherfucker, I should add that, of the week award. You know, that just shows, I mean, if you look at this stuff, and it's so sad, and this is a situation that we found ourselves. And to me, I think it's a very desperate situation. So I try to rearrange my life in such a way to where I'm not so beholden to anybody but myself for my future. And I think that's a wise word advice for most of us today, because we see. But this motherfucker goes and apologizes to BP for President Obama getting this little trust fund set up for the people, which over time is going to be proven to not be enough. But I look at it from the perspective, and I've always had my whole fucking life, I've always looked at things from the perspective of the little guy, of the underdog, of the motherfucker that just got screwed out of, like, a livelihood and generations of livelihood. Do you think he gives a damn about getting that fool getting shaken down? And come to find out this dude is from Texas and big oil, and the leading ranking member of some energy, whatever, and I think they got rid of his ass. But that's the state of shit we're in right now. And, you know, most of us probably don't even know who half of these people are that represent us and make these very vital, very important decisions that affect our lives. You know, I'm sure all the poor, and I had no idea, tons of Vietnamese people live on that coast and shrimp and do all of that work. I mean, generations of people are just without. It's bad enough we screwed everybody out of a job over the past 2 years, but now, you know, kind of this thing we didn't even expect screws more people out of a job. And think about it. I mean, this oil is continuing to go into the water. I mean, there's no end. It's not going to stop. And think about that. I mean, that's not a good thing. And, you know, this is a very vital time, I think, in America and in our world and in our lives. And I think, you know, we need to rethink the things that we do. So that's the number one dumbass motherfucker of the week. To apologize to these motherfuckers after ruining families' lives for the next generation, you don't apologize for that shit. That's just dumb. All right, next. Oprah. She's the next dumbass motherfucker of the week. Okay. She showed up. Oprah showed up at some graduation for these kids that were graduating. And these are kids that, just long story short, have opportunity from the schools that they go to go all over the world, and they're very articulate, and they're not like the regular kids, like 90% of black kids anyway in America that really need Oprah's attention and Oprah's fucking help. No, I just love these kids because they're so articulate, and they've been everywhere, and they're so confident. That's dumb. Oprah, you want them to be part of your club, or you came from the ghetto? Why don't you understand that your job as, like, a billionaire is to go to the ghetto where you came from, dumbass, and help children? That's just dumb. Why don't you know that? Why don't you know that? Why don't you know that? You know, that's just dumb. That's just dumb. That's, like, tons of blessings going to waste, in my opinion. And that's why I get so mad at black people in positions of power. And they tra-la-la across this fucking country, like, there, black people don't face real problems that they dumbasses should be addressing themselves. If you got all these white people so willing to adopt Africans, doesn't that tell you something? It's just dumb and it's stupid. And Oprah, she's the number two dumbass motherfucker of the week. She gets that award. So, you know, there they go, there they go. All right, so now, I didn't want this day to go by, considering it is my first day without Lorray, and, you know, just addressing that issue and letting that shit go and bygones be bygones. And this is for everybody, you know, this is for anything, anybody, everybody, you know. And, you know, my whole life I've been an accommodating person. You know, I'm the youngest of 11, so I've always had to accommodate my parents. My parents were very strict. If there was a group of all of us and it was an adult conversation, I had to fucking leave because I was never the one. I was never 18. Somebody was like, even Kevin, when he got 18, he's 3 years older, and he got to say, I still had to leave. You know, so I've always been accommodating. You know, I've always had to accommodate, stick to the rules. I got married very young, had a daughter, you know, very young. So I said, I'm going to be a good mother at 23 years old. Wasn't even finished with college. I was accommodating. I had to be. I was somebody's mom. And then I said, well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well get married. So I became accommodating to a husband. And then, boom, two more kids, accommodating. So a whole life of three children, then I become a single mother, and I become accommodating. And then I have to accommodate because I love people, I love these people, so I accommodate. And it just became a natural thing that you, as a person, you grow. And it helped me learn to sacrifice and to understand that at some point in your life, it is time to stop accommodating motherfuckers. In the case in point of my kids, I love my kids. I gave my whole world to my kids. Every Christmas, and I think back, every Christmas holiday, it was only mom, it was only me, and it always happened to be where that check before Christmas always came on my birthday, December 16th. So what did I get to do for 20 fucking years? Every December 6th, on your birthday, you got to spend $1,500 of your check buying toys for 3 babies. So when they woke up December 25th, they were happy. They didn't feel like they were the kids of a single mother. You bust your ass one year. You had 2 jobs. You really spoiled them. They had everything, including food. Mama, give me NyQuil because I can't sleep because I know you're going to break my ass off something tough. Accommodating, because that's what I had to do. When they got older, boys want to be disrespectful. No, you don't accommodate that shit. At some point, you stop accommodating people. And with my friend Larae, I was accommodating. I understand your course. I understand this. I understand that. But, you know, at some point you got to either, like my mama say, shit or get off the pot. And in my life, you know, that's why I got fired from Fireman's Fund. I got tired of accommodating that attitude that black people are inferior, even though everything on paper says you've done 3 times as much as these motherfuckers. Keep accommodating us and feeling inferior. All of that shit at some point comes to an end. When I started this show, I never, ever asked anybody to join me. Like I said, I've been without my dad 30 of 45, my mama 11 of 45. I've always been a tough motherfucker. That's why I raised 2 sons that are starlets to this day. I was accommodating. I did my job as a single mother. So, yeah, today I sit here and I chill, and my sons are with a dad who didn't do shit for the past. Oh, and happy Father's Day, motherfucker. How does it feel to be with your sons for the first time on Father's Day? Ain't that a bitch? I hope they are doing something for you to let you realize it's important to be somebody's motherfucking daddy and be an active motherfucker in their life. Kind of man? No, not me. Anyway, so you stop accommodating. So I don't accommodate people when it comes to this stuff, because if I'm going to put my voice out there and I'm going to put my life out there and I'm going to put who I am out there, and I don't accommodate anymore, because all said and done, you can't please everybody anyway, but who you can please is yourself and God, baby. Accommodate yourself. Listen to God. See what he say and accommodate yourself. Okay? Join me. Join me in love. Like I said on the blog, you know what? The best way to sacrifice your life is to give up something for somebody else. This is Father's Day. This is the diary. We're going to play something new. And when we come back, we're going to specifically talk some shit about a badass Negro, my daddy. My daddy, Willie Thomas Johnson. I look just like him. And you'd be amazed at the history. My dad wasn't no joke, baby. Wasn't no joke. We're going to talk about a man versus a boy. Okay, becoming a dad. What a man does. And then what a boy does when he becomes a dad. I got great examples of them both. It ain't like I'm talking some shit I ain't seen. But right now, I'm going to fly to base, baby. We playing flying base. This is the diary. This is your host. Well, you don't accommodate no motherfuckers. You accommodate yourself, your heart, and what Jesus Christ himself tells you. If you don't believe in Jesus, you better. You know, it would be so good for you if you do. You know, it really would. All right, this is the diary, baby. We'll be back. Fly that base. Yeah. right, all right, all right. Flying bass. Man, man, that's funky, funky, funky. I don't know how I got so funky, but that is funky like me. Now, my daddy. Let's talk about Father's Day because, you know, it is important. You know, and I say, yeah, you don't need one to raise them, but it is very important that a child, boy or girl, you know, have their dad present. You know, I was blessed enough to know the person of my dad, even though as a young child, my dad died when I was 15, he had cancer. He died when I was 67, when he was 67 years old after retiring from his job, and he was born in 1912, okay, and was adopted, ended up with the last name, which he gave to 10 children, and my mom and daddy, everybody on whatever side I want to hate, say, oh, more than that, oh, in South Carolina. But I'm like, well, you know what? In Los Angeles, California, he had a two-story house, six bedrooms, koi pond in the backyard, the garden, everything came from May Company, you know, in L.A. Everything came from, you know, up there off of Crenshaw. You know, everything was right. Everything was right. He took care of his wife. He took care of my mama. He took care of 13 people. He never asked my mother to work. All 11 of us went to private school for 12 years. Oh, those of us that didn't drop our asses out, let me put it that way. You know, if you're going to drop out, then you dropping out. But my dad stayed married to my mom until his death in 1980. He was also one of the founding members of the Golden Gate Quartet back in the 30s and 40s, and then lost his membership when he went to war. World War II. I don't know how many people age 45 could say their daddy was in World War II, but my daddy was no joke, okay? He had 10 kids with my mom, and this is what a man does. See, and we're gonna start already talking about a man versus a boy when he becomes a dad. Well, my mom and dad met in the South, okay? My dad's from South Carolina. My mom's from Topeka, Kansas. Somehow they met, probably some juke joint, okay? I don't know. My mom was already married and divorced and had my oldest sister, Cheryl, who's 21 years older than me. My dad was a man, so when he married my mom, he adopted my older sister and never, ever dared us to make a distinction that that was not our sister. Okay, when my sister got married, a wedding my dad paid for, while her dad was still alive somewhere, my dad walked my oldest sister down the aisle, and I got pictures of that shit, okay? So that's what a man does when he becomes a dad, even if it ain't his kid. You see what I'm saying? He don't run and hide and do some old bullshit that, oh, tons of these little knucklehead-ass little fools do today. That's what a man does, all right? So he marries my mom, adopts my older sister, and then has 10 mother and kids, okay, 10, of which I am the last, all right? If my older sister is 21, okay, and I was born in 64, okay, we talking 40-something. They started in 1940-some, 43, and ended in 64 and had 10 ex-kids in that time. All of us went to private school. My mama never worked. All of us went 12 years of private school. All of us went to college. All of us make good money, though, until, you know, white man dibble and dabble with your shit. But all of us have degrees. Only the punk asses have bachelor's degrees, like me and maybe my brother in journalism, and he might have some shit by now. Most of them have a master's degree, and my brother has a doctor. Two brothers have a doctor. One's a priest. You know, that's what a man, that's how a man raises his son. A man raises sons that go in the military and may fuck up and have some kids with some more wild chick, but while in the military, a man's son goes and gets those kids. And make sure the mama, who's a crackhead or whatever she was, God bless her, goes and gets those. That's what my brother did, see. So a one man produced another man. Okay, that's what one of my brothers, while he was in the Army, that's what he had to go through. Because I remember I took care of Kobe and William. Them is my niggas. Those are other men. Another man. Okay, my two nephews, they were both in the military. Okay, my niggas, Kobe and William. Chipmunk Funk. If you hear me, boys, you know we was bumping, you and Auntie Stacy, bump it, Chipmunk Funk. And don't act like we wasn't, and we was loving that shit, all right? Because I had so many siblings so much older than me, they was like my brothers and sisters, but they were my nieces and my nephews. And it was all good. My brother brought me back Thriller from Germany. Shit, I had Thriller, all right? So don't trip. That's what a man does. See, one man, my daddy, made six other men, all right? All of my brothers, whether they were divorced, and only one, God bless my brother's soul, is still married to his wifey, Celeste. Kevin and Celeste still married, thank God, because, you know, he a man. And a woman knows a man. A woman ain't going to leave a man. See, the mother was married, you know, a white woman. So they had a little difficulty, you know. You know, one of the married white women, you know, got divorces. You know, but the ones that married sisters, you know, sisters going strong, you know what I'm saying? So let that be a lesson to you, my brother. All right? So, you know, I love all of them. All my brothers, but they all men. And what they didn't do when they got divorced from the white woman, they didn't just dump the kids. Because the party was old, okay? And that's one man. My daddy had six other men. And I tell my sons, you know what? Your grandpa raised six sons, okay? And I love my mom. It ain't like he did it by himself, but just Father's Day. Raised six sons in Los Angeles, South Central, 48th and Western, okay? 1812 West 48th Street. You want to go there? That's where all them pimps was born. And pimp 1, 2, 3, 11, okay? All right, 1812 West 48th Street, greenhouse. Looks like a haunted house now, but memories galore, and that was my daddy's house. Okay, some stupid shit ended up being some priest's house. I don't know. Older siblings, they crazy. But one man, that was our house. That's where that one man worked his ass off, okay? So I said my dad was a musician. Okay, he was. He was a musician, but he also worked. And when I was born in 1964, Daddy was in a movie with Elvis Presley called Viva Las Vegas. Everybody and their grandma know Viva Las Vegas. Go watch that shit. Quartet in the club with Elvis and Ann Margaret. Touch your side. That's my daddy. He looked just like me. I look just like him. That flat-ass head. Lord, please don't ever give me cancer while I lose these dreads because that shit's flatter than the flattest of flatties. The back of my head couldn't be no flatter. And I gave it to my son, Christopher. I am my daddy's girl, top to bottom. My daddy died when I was 15, but you know what? He's never died. He's never died. You know, but what if he would have never been me? You know, and my mom and dad didn't have no love relationship all the fucking time I remember. And this is real. And when I'm really up there, all my siblings go back this shit. This shit is real. My whole life, I don't know about my siblings. I'm the last, so I don't know. My whole life, my parents had two different rooms. My dad had his room upstairs. My mama had a room downstairs. And my daddy had a shack in the backyard with a two-way radio, all his hookups. And shit, my ass and hoes come back there, and my mama was free. Who knows? But anyway, not my dad. He was a sweet man. You know, good man, honest man. Everybody loved my dad. You know, everybody loved my dad. And when people say, the way you treat your kids remind me of dad. That's what my sister said. The way you treat your kids remind me of dad. I'm like, hey, I've made it. Oh, because I look like that fool. I'm swagger like that fool. And I love my dad. You can't deprive. You can't deprive a kid of dad. You dumb motherfuckers. Kids aren't dogs. Kids need their dads. I don't give a fuck what you say. Even if they're around for 15 years, kids need their fucking dad. I'm my dad's child. I know my dad. My dad stuck around. You know, my mother and father had two different rooms. You know, niggas today, they would have bounced. We made fun of the Cottons because they had 10 kids, but the poppy bounced. And you know what? There was some poor ass kids they attached to my siblings today because that motherfucker bounced on them. My daddy never bounced. He should have bounced. How many times did I see my dad be disrespected for my mom? As much as I love my mom, You know, but that's what a man fucking does, because my dad wasn't looking at her. My dad was looking at us and everybody. So he said, I ain't looking at her. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, baby Stace. I'm looking at you, Kevin. I'm looking at you, Tammy. I'm looking at you, Tony, Dana, William, Steve, Mike, Cheryl, Mignon, Chandra. I'm looking at you. I ain't looking at your mama. I would have left your mama a long time ago. And my sister said, yeah, he did. And mom begged his ass to come back. Because that's a man. That's a man. That's what a fucking man does when he becomes a fucking dad. He don't walk out on his kids. Fuck what the bitch. So you build your shack and you go in the backyard. That's what a man does. Oh, too many bitch-ass little boys today making kids. Too many of them. Stop the shit. Because you're not mean. I got good examples. You know what a boy does? What a boy does when he becomes a dad? Like Fernando did, calling my daughter, talking about worried about who my daughter's fucking now, calling her, talking about, oh, so you enjoying being single? Jessica, tell me that. She asked, do you pound his motherfucking ass? And say, hey, wait, motherfucker. Wait a minute. You single. I'm a single mother, motherfucker. It ain't like Elijah ain't here with me. Clown the motherfucker. That's what a boy says when he becomes a dad. Uh-oh, you happy being single? Because all he's worried about is penis and some pussy. He ain't worried about being a man. That's what a boy does when he becomes a dad. You know what else a boy does when he becomes a dad? He marries the mama. No, he marries the mama before he even had a kid. This is what a boy does because he don't know himself. So he marry a bitch, have two kids, can't make it, go live with his mama, then find some illegal alien somewhere, and name that kid the opposite of the first kid he had in marriage. That's what a motherfucking boy does when he becomes a dad. That's not what a man does. You know what a man does when his bitch get on his nerves? He go in his own room. As a matter of fact, he make his own room. So he ain't got to deal with the bitch. He's not going to walk out on his kid. Because a real man don't walk out on his kid. The one thing I remember about my dad, and there's very few things because I was a baby. My family had order. You know, you was lucky to get time with that fool. You know, I would get up every morning just to watch that fool back that raggedy station wagon out of the driveway. And I would be like, hi, Dad, because he was the man of the house. He was handling the business. He was lucky. That's why we love 4th of July. We love Christmas because Daddy made it right. You had time with Dad. Daddy was cooking. Daddy was barbecuing. Everybody came over. Daddy did his business while I was doing the partying, and Dad went upstairs. That's what a man does. That's what a man does. He don't sit here and wait for his girl to sit around and drink and get drunk and fuck everybody he know in the neighborhood, then come home to his wife. That's not what a man does. That's what a motherfucking boy does. So this is a diary. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Superman. Because one day my daddy, I swear to God, I swear to the God that I love, me and my brother was like, Daddy, please hit her. Daddy, knock her out. If there's any time to knock her the fuck out, Daddy, it would be now. Daddy became Superman. Daddy became Superman on that ass, and he didn't knock her out like he should have. So let's see what I'm going to play. Let's get the music. I don't even think funky, baby, funky. Oh, it's funky something. But I don't see it. Funky, oh, I don't know. I didn't get it, so let's play Good Father. And I'm crying, see, I'm all messed up about my dad. I love my dad so much. You know what, I'm going to play Funk Button because that's going to cheer me up. You know, if you got a dad, love his ass because, you know, there ain't a day, 30 years, motherfucker, 30 years of somebody's life. It's probably somebody there, you listening right now, your fucking life, your kids, and some. 30 years, and there's not a day that's not gone by that I miss my dad so fucking much. If you have your dad, love his ass. Love him. All right, here we go. We're going to play Funk Button while I wipe some tears on Father's Day. Willie Thomas Johnson, you is my nigga. You is the shit. You know it. Viva Las Vegas. Viva you in me forever. Yeah. cried, baby. That's funk button. I was feeling funky and crazy. Any day go by, I don't cry about missing my dad. That's why, you know, it's like, wow, I'm just so proud to be his daughter that, you know, I was just able to get squoze in at 52 years old. He's still busting nuts like that. And he made me. Ha! Thank you, Pops. It's all good now. You know, I was talking about Superman, you know, and it's important. You know, and I got a friend, okay, you know, they say it's important for a girl and a boy to know their dad. You know, from a girl's perspective, you know, so they will toughen up. If they have that dad that tells him how to be tough, you know, that's what a dad does for a girl. You know, toughens her up and tells her what to expect. And, well, you know, a boyfriend see a dad show up at the door, you know, it ain't going to be the same thing as if some mama show up at the door, unless it's me, of course. So I let him straight out. I'm worse than any daddy. Her daddy's a punk compared to mommy. Because, you know, like I said, I had to accommodate myself because I love my kids. And I wasn't going to let no part of this fucked up world take me over just because I had to be a single mother to two boys and then also to a girl. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, fathers are important. And now Jessie has a good relationship with her dad. And she called him today. And, you know, I said, you know, because I raised you, you called him. There ain't nothing he did for you, including his family, you know, his whole life that warranted him a phone call. He tried to emancipate you, you know, a year or so before he was, like, almost done taking me to court. And it's like, no, because if she becomes disabled, what is, you only got you dumb motherfucker. He should have been on the Dumb Motherfucker of the Week Award. They always on, the baby daddies always, and my ex-husband, always on. Always, you know. And I, she said, Mom, he was so happy to hear from him. I'm like, yeah, because you know he ain't got nicks coming. He got nicks and nikes, and it's only because I'm your mama. All right, you got a righteous ass mama that know as long as we do good, baby, we put the devil to so much fucking shame out there in the world. When I tell you, don't forget to call your dad. Now that you have a number, call your mother's dad. Okay, I know he ain't called you. Okay, you 22, all right? They was mad, too busy mad I got married, okay, and didn't want to call you. But you put the devil's ass to shame when you do that shit, and then you put yourself up so high that can't nobody fuck with Jesse, because Jesse will do the right thing no matter what. And guess where Jesse got that shit from? Hey, little baby Stace. Little baby Stace. And that's what we have to do for our sons. You know, we got to tell them, you know, fuck all of that. Yo, don't talk bad about their dad. No, I will, because I don't want them to think what he did was cool. And trust me, this is the first. I wish I was a fly on the wall. They deserve each other today. You know, I'm hoping they're having good conversation, because I'm so happy. But you see, because I accommodated my motherness, I didn't fall short when it came to my boy. Yeah, I was like my friend, yeah, I'm not going to go out because I'm a single mom. Yeah, but at some point, the kid going out having sex, how come you ain't? That's what me and somebody part ways. You know, you come up with something else, but fill my ass with a different kind of smoke, because that's not working. So, you know what? Everybody, anyway. But let's talk about Father's Day. Let's talk about Father's Day and a man versus a boy and what happens when a man becomes a dad. Hey, my dad, okay, Superman. I mentioned Superman, you know, way back when, I don't know. See, and I love my dad because he was like me. That's why my sister say, you know, the way you have your house is like that. Yeah, because I got my little cove back there, and I even have a lock on my shit with my kids. I don't give a fuck. When I found out they was unwrapping Christmas presents, okay, oh, Mommy, yeah, we unwrapped and we wrapped it back. We knew we were getting locked up. I put a lock on my door. When I took the Jordans, okay, when I took the Jordans, and I'd leave for work before Freddie, if Freddie go in my room, get the Jordans, and get Freddie come home before I come home, when Freddie put the Jordans back, and somebody told, oh, yeah, Chris ratted him out. Oh, yeah, when Chris was still my baby, okay, and was on Mom's team instead of the other team. Oh, yeah, Mom, Chris, Freddie gets his Jordans. Oh, Mom put a lock on the door. Okay, so Mom had her cove, like my Pops had his shack. You don't go. If Pops is in the shack, don't even go there. My kids grew up knowing Mom's in the room. Knock. My, to this day, my kids are 22, 20, and 18. To this day, they will not step foot in my door. even if it is open, because they know everything else is ours. That place in there is hers. That's how my dad was, okay? So my dad let my mom had a run of the house. My mom was a partier, although, you know, a partier in a good way. She had a lot of friends. So, yeah, do the same shit I do. Got the big screen, got the drinks, got the Old Forester, got the 7-Up, get some peanuts, some of them nuts, some of them after-dinner mints. Me and my brother got that shit up after everybody went home because we couldn't get none of it before the party. We got chili. My mom threw parties, poker parties, and had a good time. My family knew. You know, my dad worked hard. My mom didn't. My mom partied hard. So I had a good mix. But one party must have went wrong because my dad went off the next day. Me and my brother, we hear the shit rumbling up, boy. We go hide in the bathroom, and we had an old-ass house there. You know your household when you can see through the fucking keyhole. So we looking through the keyhole. My daddy going through that shit, just yelling, and we like, beat her ass, please, please, dad, please. If there's one time you should whoop her ass, this should be the time. Get her, get her, get her, please. But my dad, he was a man, okay? He's a man, okay? So he never put his hands on his wife. But he sure put it all on the furniture. He threw everything in that motherfucking house over. Me and my brother were cracking the fuck up. That's what a man does. He's like, I ain't going to fuck you up, Willa Mae. But I'm going to fuck up all the shit I just bought because I want to fuck you up. That's what a man does. Because he knows, shit, I just buy new shit. She go to May Company. She go to Broadway down the street. He have her oldest daughter, Cheryl, can put her in the Lincoln and take her down to May Company, and it'd be on my charge card. I ain't really tripping, but right now I'm going to throw this shit over Willa Mae Johnson because I'm going to throw you over. To this day, me and my brother Kevin, that fool, I'm 45, he's 48. If I say the word Superman, that fool will crack the fuck up. That was Daddy's name. Daddy turned into Superman on Mama's ass. We was hoping he'd get clocker, but he didn't. He turned into Superman. That's what a motherfucking man does when he becomes a dad. He turns into Superman. He don't fuck up his wife. He don't fuck up his kids. He don't leave. He don't do none of that old dumb shit. He fucks up his own shit. He go buy him some more, and he lives to tell another day. My daddy was the shit. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Willie Thomas Johnson sitting proudly in heaven. I remember those days. If I could just come in, Dad, can I listen to the radio? And I was such a scary fucking kid, but I'd do anything just to be with my dad. And my dad would listen to Mystery Fucking Theater, the scariest shit on the planet, if you 5 or 8 or 7, in my big-ass, scary-ass haunted house they had. And I was like the only one of 2, maybe me and Kevin were left. Tammy got kicked out, so it was me and Kevin. Well, I was like, okay, Dad, I'll come listen to Mystery Theater. He'd be folding his shirts military style, ironing his T-shirts. You know, that's the kind of dad I had. You know, his wife didn't even do that shit. He did it himself. You know, a man took care of his family. But his cove, it wasn't nothing he didn't have in his cove. You know, Dad, I love you, man. If you weren't a man, you would have unleashed 6 convicts and 5 motherfucking hoes. You know, Dad, I swear to God, if it wasn't for you, you know, if it wasn't for you, Willie Thomas Johnson, that's why you deserve to be sitting so proud of heaven. And all these little kids of yours down here, if they ain't talking the same shit I'm talking, but before I come see you, I swear you're going to be honored so deep in this earth, man. Willie Thomas Johnson, that's a motherfucking dad. Go watch Viva Las Vegas and go see my daddy. That's my daddy, Willie Thomas Johnson. You know what? I got to take a little cry break, motherfuckers. I'll be back. Here's Funky Dad. All right. Damn. Happy Father's Day, everybody. God damn it. You know what I'm saying? If you got a daddy on this earth, kiss his ass. You know what I mean? Kiss his ass. But give him a kiss. You know what I mean? And kiss his ass. Why not? He's going to be dead one day. He's going to be thinking, oh, I miss you too, just like baby miss her daddy the past 30 years, motherfucker. You know, and you, I just have to finish up on my pops because, you know, it was just, he can make some barbecue, and that's another thing. You know, shit, my barbecue joint that will be open is in honor of my pops because 4th of July coming up, man, ask all my siblings. Pops out on his man-made, brick-made grill at 4 in the morning. All right, getting his shit together. You seen that little bald head? You know, my dad was short. I'm short. You know, and it's amazing. You know, and those that love you, even when they go to the long and beyond, and we ain't talking about Civil War niggas. We do that next week. I just got to say this thing about, you know, people that love you. And don't worry about people that go on because they feel you. They know you. They know you love them. They know they left you. You know he left me. He left me when he was 15. I was 15. You know, at least Kev was 18. You know, he was a boy, too, and my mom let him do whatever the fuck he wanted to. But I was only 15, you know, I was still in high school, you know, I had to finish up, and I'm a girl, you know, I was like, damn, everybody bounced, you know, and it's like, you know, I just love my dad so much, and as I grew older, it's not a day that's gone by because the music, if it wasn't for my dad and his incredible music knowledge and experience that he gave to all of his kids, you know, I know all of my siblings are like, Dad, your music is just like, my brother got a doctorate in music. He's a director of music at Spelman College. That's my dad. All my siblings know how to sing, man. How many rehearsals of Jesus Christ Superstar did I go to in Gospel? And just every music. I mean, I love every kind of music, and I got that from my dad. And all the African art, I got that from my dad. Dads are so important. If you're somebody's daddy, be their fucking dad. For good and for worse. You fuck the bitch, take care of the baby. That's all I'm saying, because they need you. I thank God for Willie Thomas Johnson, but he was an old school nigga. He was a nigga that didn't walk out back then. You know, we need them. Raise your son to be that. Even my youngest son say, you know, I clown him about having kids. Well, that's what condoms are for. I ain't having no kids. That's what condoms are for. Well, good, son. I'm glad to hear you say that shit. As a to some dumb shit, so you be the dumb motherfucker of the week. You know, teach your boys to be men. A man stands by his kids no matter how crazy the bitch was. She wasn't too crazy. You know, my mama must not have been too crazy because he had 10 kids with her, and they had a blessed life. But you know what? He stuck in there until the day he died. He was married to my mother. You know, and he's got 10, 11 kids that have blessed lives. And then those kids, one of my brothers got 8 kids. I got 3 kids. Another sister got 3 kids. Another sister got 3 kids. Another brother got 32 boys. One righteous man being a man just multiplied the whole family of men. That's what a righteous man being a man is going to do. Be a man. If you're somebody's fucking daddy, be their daddy. Ask God. Guess what? He'll be there for you. My daddy was a religious man. He was a Catholic. My mother was a Baptist. Before it was all said and done, my mother converted. Okay? That's what a righteous man will do for a family. That's what a man will do. Be a good daddy. If you a daddy, be they daddy. Be they fucking daddy. I thank God for you, Willie Thomas Johnson. You sitting so proud in heaven. I know you're watching me. I'm not listening to Mystery Theater, although, you know, I ain't scared no more if I had to. I ain't listening, Poppy. I'm on the motherfucking radio. This is the diary, folks. I love you. I don't love you as much as I love my daddy, but I love you. Have a wonderful week. And, God damn, if you got a daddy that's breathing, kiss him. Fucking ass. Kiss him for me. This is the diary. See you next week. Peace.